Hey, everybody. We are so glad you're here with us. Today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, Rick Warren continues with an inspiring new series called What Does It Really Mean to Follow Jesus? Now, in this powerful teaching, Rick dives into God's Word to explore how we grow spiritually, represent Christ in the world, and find our place in God's family through the church. It's a fresh look at discipleship, purpose, and the life-changing power of spiritual community. And now here's part one of a message called We Are Ambassadors.
This weekend, I want us to look at the word ambassador. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are Christ's ambassadors. If you're taking notes, circle that word. We are Christ's ambassadors. Now, what is an ambassador? Well, an ambassador is a representative sent out on a mission to build relationships. That's usually what an ambassador is. A representative sent out on a mission in order to build relationships. Now, there are political ambassadors. There are economic and business ambassadors. There are cultural ambassadors. There are goodwill ambassadors. And the Bible says there are spiritual ambassadors. And we are Christ's ambassadors. If you are a follower of Christ, the Bible says you are an ambassador for him in the world. So what I want us to do this weekend is three things. I want us to look at the role of an ambassador. I want us to look at the responsibilities of an ambassador. And I want us to look at the rewards for being an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Let's get right into it. First, what is my role as an ambassador? Well, what it means, number one, it means that if I'm an ambassador, I am a representative of Jesus. I am a representative of Jesus. I represent Jesus in the world. Now, to understand this, you need to understand the difference between your career and your calling. You need to know the difference between your job and your vocation. You might work at Taco Bell, but you're not called to Taco Bell. You might work as an insurance salesman, but you're not called to be an insurance salesman. There's a difference between your vocation and your job, between your career and your calling. Now, the word vocation comes from the Latin word voce, which is the word for voice. We get the word vocal from it, like a vocalist or a vocation. It means your calling. It has to do with your voice. Now, I was talking to somebody a while back, and I said, what do you do? This person I just met, I said, what do you do? And they said, well, I'm actually an ambassador for Jesus disguised as a businessman. I talked to a woman one time. She said, I'm an ambassador for Jesus disguised as a professional basketball coach. So what's your disguise? You are an ambassador for Jesus. If you're a follower of Christ, that's your primary calling. You're an ambassador for Jesus. But you may be disguised as a mom, as a nurse, as a truck driver, as a mechanic, as a realtor, as a salesman, or whatever. That's your job. That's your career. But that's not your calling. It's not your vocation. The Bible says this on the screen, 2 Timothy chapter 1. God saved us and called us to be his own people, not because of what we have done, but because of his own grace and purpose. Now notice it says, he has called us. He has called us. What's your calling? This week I looked up the phrase calling and what we're called to do in the Bible. And the Bible says this in Romans 1:7, we're called to be his people. John 15, we're called to be God's friend. 1 Corinthians 1, we're called to be holy and we're called into fellowship. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, we're called to speak for Christ. Galatians 5, we're called to serve each other. In Colossians 3, we're called to live in peace. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 28 says we're called, in verse 29, called to become like Jesus for God's purpose. 1 Peter 2, we're called to suffer for him. In 1 Peter 3, we're called to bless those who curse us. 1 Timothy 1 says we're called to eternal life. And 2 Thessalonians 2 says we're called to share his glory. That's your calling. It's not your career, but it's your calling. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are a representative of Jesus Christ. You are an ambassador. You have an assignment, and your assignment is to build relationships. Now, if you're going to follow Jesus as an ambassador, it's going to have to affect the way you live. It's going to radically change the way you live. In fact, the Bible says this, Philippians 1:27, be sure that you live in a way that brings honor to the good news of Christ. It says if you're going to be ambassador, you're going to be a representative of Jesus, you got to live like it. You can't just name the name without playing the game. You've got to back it up with your life. We need to remember that we represent Jesus. Many years ago, when I was a high school student, I was selected as one of 8 students in this state, in California, to be ambassadors to the International Congress on Science and the Environment. And they said, it's going to be 8 high school students, and you're going for a week, all expenses paid, we're giving an unlimited credit line, and no chaperones. What a life. And so I'm one of the 8 ambassadors from the state of California as a high school student to go to this Congress. As I'm walking out the door, my dad says to me, son, remember who you represent. Remember who you represent. I didn't just represent California. I represented the Warren name. And I didn't just represent the Warren name. I represented Jesus Christ. I think it's a good phrase we need to ask ourselves quite frequently. As we get up in the morning, when you're going out for the day's work, remember who you represent. When you're out playing a pickup game of ball, remember who you represent. When you go into a grocery store or a theater, or you're in line with traffic, remember who you represent. When you're frustrated with a clerk and you want to chew him out, remember who you represent. If you name the name of Christ, the Bible says you are an ambassador of Jesus. Now, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 this, live a life worthy of the calling you have received. And I have been called to represent Jesus in the world, and so have you. This is not just for pastors. It's for every believer. Now, number 2, an ambassador not only represents someone. Number 2, I've been given a mission. That's the second thing an ambassador does. You're given a mission. Ambassadors are sent on diplomatic missions. In fact, the embassies where ambassadors work are called permanent missions. I've been in many of them around the world, in many capitals of different countries. I've been to the American Embassy. And usually when we go into a major city, like a capital, we'll get invited to the embassy just to meet with everybody. And they're called the permanent mission to China, the permanent mission to Australia, the permanent mission to Israel, the permanent mission, whatever. Because the word mission is what an ambassador does. Now, Jesus said this in John 17. He said, in the same way that you, Father, gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. Did you know that you have a mission? That the moment you step across the line spiritually and you become a follower of Jesus, God has a mission for your life, and that is to be his ambassador. Now, when you're on a mission, friends, that's all that matters. You're not there to see the scenery. You're not there to take pictures. You're not there to try the local cuisine. As an ambassador, you're there on a mission. Now, of all of the missions in the world, the most important mission of all is helping people get to know God and settle their eternal destiny, because they're only going to be on earth for 60, 80 years, but they're going to be in eternity for trillions of years. And so our mission, the mission of ambassadors of Christ, is more important than any other mission, than a mission to the moon or a mission to some other country. The Bible says this, Paul says, I don't care about my own life. The most important thing is that I complete my mission. The work that the Lord Jesus gave me to tell other people the good news about God's grace. He says, my job is to complete my mission. At the end of his life, Paul said, I finished the race. He completed his mission. He said, I did what God told me to do. Are you going to be able to do that? One day when you stand before God, he's going to say, did you complete the mission I gave you? Oh, I didn't even know I had one. Well, yeah, you did. You think I put you on earth just to live for yourself? No, I put you on earth for a mission. Now, the Bible says not only am I given the responsibility of representing Jesus, and not only do I have a mission, number three, this is real important, I have been given authority to speak. I've been given authority to speak. Now, sometimes, you know, we don't feel very confident in talking about God to other people. And maybe we feel a little insecure or a little unsure, a little timid, a little hesitant. We go, who am I to talk to anybody about Jesus? You know, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it. I'm not a professional witnesser or whatever. I don't know what to do. But God says, nope, you're authorized. And he says, whenever I ask you to do something, and I ask you to represent me, and I ask you to have a mission, and I ask you to speak for me, he said, I'm going to empower you to do it. And in Matthew 28, Jesus said this, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Circle the phrase, all authority. I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Obviously, God has all the authority in the universe. And he says he's given it to his son, Jesus Christ. And he says, therefore, because I've been given all authority, he says, I'm going to authorize you. Therefore, go to all people everywhere and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And he goes, you can count on this. I will be with you always. Now, that verse is called the Great Commission. It is our commission. It is our mission in life. And the Great Commission was not given to pastors. It was not given to missionaries. It was not given to priests or elders or professional evangelists. The Great Commission Jesus gave to every one of his followers. It's your commission. And one day God's going to say, did you do the commission I gave you? Did you do the mission? Somebody gave you the good news because they represented me to you. Did you pass it on? Did you share it with anybody else? And he said, I have all the authority and I'm authorizing you to speak. Now, there's a word most of you have probably never heard of. It's the word plenipotentiary. Plenipotentiary is a diplomatic term. Some of you don't know that I'm a member of the Council of Foreign Affairs. And there's a term that's often used in foreign affairs called plenipotentiary. It's a Latin phrase that literally means full power. And what a plenipotentiary is it's somebody who is authorized to represent a government with offers without having to check back with anybody else. A plenipotentiary is someone who can negotiate on the behalf of a country without having to say, I'll get back to you. During the Revolutionary War, John Adams and Benjamin Franklin were both plenipotentiaries to both France and to England, which means they were authorized by our young government to sign treaties without it having even to be approved by Congress. That's how much power they were given. And they were saying, we give you the authorization to make the offer in our behalf without having to check back with us. Now, historically, the people who have this ability, there's a word for them. They're called ministers. Now, when we think of minister today here in America, we think of like pastors and we think of people in churches. But around the world, minister is often a plenipotentiary. For instance, we talk about a minister of state or a minister of commerce or a minister of foreign affairs or a prime minister. We don't use these terms in America. We use the term president, we use a secretary of state, secretary of commerce, secretary of foreign affairs, things like that. But most of the world uses the word minister. And a minister is somebody who has been authorized to act on behalf of somebody else. Well, that's really a cool thing because the Bible says that you are authorized as a minister of Jesus Christ. Every Christian is an authorized minister of Jesus Christ. You're not a pastor. You're not a priest. You're not a full-time Christian worker. But every believer is a minister. The Bible teaches this over and over. And he says, you are authorized to speak on my behalf. You don't have to go check with anybody else. You can talk in the name of Christ to other people. And he says, you represent me. I've given you a mission, and I'm giving you the authority to speak. Now, there's one other thing you need to remember as an ambassador. Number four, and it's this. I serve in a foreign culture. You've probably never thought about this. But if you are a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, your home is not on earth. Your home is in heaven. Your homeland is in heaven, and your identity is in eternity. Because you're only going to spend a few years here on earth. You're going to spend a few decades, 5 or 6, maybe 7 or 8 decades here on earth. But you're going to spend trillions of years in eternity. And God did not make you to spend eternity on earth. God created you to be a part of his family, and that family is going to be on trillions of years in eternity. So he's saying, this isn't my home. And as an ambassador, I'm simply on a short-term assignment. Now, where does an ambassador live? In their home country or in a foreign country? They live in a foreign country. So for instance, America's ambassador to China lives in China. And America's ambassador to Japan lives in Japan. They don't get to live in their home country. Ambassadors don't live in their home country. They live in somebody else's country. In fact, they often live in enemy territory. During the Cold War, American ambassadors lived in all the communist nations, even though they were our enemies and were actually trying to bring us down. And so an ambassador will often live not just in a foreign country or culture, but in an alien or enemy culture. And he says, that's what you are as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. This world is not your home. You're just a passing through. He said, you were made for eternity. You were made for heaven. If you want to go back and read on this, in the first 7 chapters of Purpose-Driven Life, I talk about this in detail. And the Bible says this in 1 Peter chapter 1, here on the screen. If you call God your Father, he says, live your time as temporary residents on earth. An ambassador, and I've met a lot of ambassadors around the world, they don't buy a permanent home, whether they live in Paris or in Rio de Janeiro or anywhere else. They rent. Why? Because they know I'm just an ambassador. And when the next administration comes in, they're going to appoint a new ambassador. So they say, we're not going to stay here for the rest of our lives. Nobody moves to a country and then lives there their entire lives if they're an ambassador. You're there on short-term assignment, and you're in a foreign culture, and you're not really in your homeland. What Jesus is saying here is, don't get too comfortable living in this world. You're just an ambassador. You're just an ambassador. Don't get too comfortable. Don't think that this life is all there is here on earth. Don't get sucked into the myth that all there is the here and now. And don't forget your role. Your role is not to create a little cushy pad and make your life as comfortable as possible. That's not your role. Your role is an ambassador. Your role is to represent me, to fulfill your mission, and to speak in my name with authority, and you're doing it in foreign territory.
Hey, thanks so much for being with us today and listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so glad that you've been with us today, and I hope that you were just as blessed as I was from today's broadcast. Hey, have you ever wished that you could hear from God? I mean, really hear his voice when you're facing a big decision, struggling with pain, or just feeling lost? Well, here's the amazing truth. The creator of the universe wants to be your friend. And that's not just in theory, but in a real daily relationship. And how does that friendship grow? Through conversation. The good news is God is already speaking. The question is, are you tuned in? In this powerful new Bible study from Pastor Rick's Hearing the Voice of God series, you'll discover how to recognize when God's speaking, how to hear Him with greater clarity, and how to turn your prayers from a monologue into a life-changing dialogue. This four-week study is full of practical teaching, guided prayers, thought-provoking questions, and simple tools to help you connect with God in a deeper, more personal way. Plus, it's perfect for individual or small group study. So don't miss out on what God wants to say to you. Request your copy of Hearing the Voice of God today. It's our gift to you when you support Daily Hope and help share the gospel with people all around the world. Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can just text the word HOPE to 70309. And again, that's the word HOPE to 70309. Please join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.